Blog Talk Radio.
Be set free, be healed, be made whole at Miracle Temple. Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen. Be set free, be healed, be made whole at Miracle Temple. Deliverance Ministries at Miracle Temple, where Christ lives in me.
Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen. Apostle Amanda Walker Bryant wants to make sure you get all that you need through the Word of God. Let us join Apostle Bryant as she teaches the infallible Word of God.
Open your Bibles to Matthew, the 7th chapter. I believe there's a word from the Lord. Amen. Matthew, the 7th chapter, beginning at verse 7. Matthew, the 7th chapter, beginning at verse 7. How many love the Word on this morning? Hallelujah. And the Word of God now reads. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks, receives, and he that seeks, finds, and to him that knock, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? You may be seated. I want to talk about ask, seek, and knock. But the first thing before I go into this ask, seek, and knock, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, get over yourself. Say, neighbor, get over you. You know, I tell you, sometimes we have so many issues. We have so many things that we're going through that we can't even focus on what the Word of God is saying unto us. And I'm telling you, there is power in the Word of God. And the enemy knows if he can use anything or anybody to take our focus off of the Word, then we cannot benefit from what God has already provided. I'm telling you today, everything that we need, God has already done. He's not going to do anything else. And the reason why God has me to go into ask, seek, and knock, because some of us, when we come to God, we're not really knowing him as our Father. And the only way that we can come to God is to know who he is. The Bible said without faith, it is impossible to please him. Those that come to him must believe that he is. That means that we must believe that he exists. And then the Bible said he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So I want to talk about ask first. When we look at ask, it said ask and you shall, it shall be given unto you. Y'all, that's a promise. When we stop right there, when it said ask, it shall be given unto you, that's a promise. But there are some conditions based upon that promise. And some of us, when we go to God, we go to him feeling unworthy. We go to him feeling condemned. We go to him in self-righteousness. We go to him based on us and not based on what he have done through Jesus Christ. So there's conditions on asking. When you look at Matthew 7, it's a continuation from the Sermon on the Mount. And this is when Jesus was talking to his disciples. This is when he was teaching them. And when he was teaching them, that means a disciple is a learner of Christ. So he got to the part about ask, and it shall be given unto you. The first condition is you must be born again. In order to come to the Father to benefit from what he has, we know that God has already provided everything for us. Even while we were yet in our sin, he proved his love for us because what? Jesus died for us. So he had already provided everything that we need, even while we were yet sinners. But here he's talking to the learners of Christ. He's teaching them, the followers of Christ. He said, ask, and it shall be given unto you. So we must be born again in order to benefit from what the kingdom has already provided. When you look at John, the third chapter, y'all know Nicodemus, he was a ruler, and Jesus began to tell him to see the kingdom, to perceive, to have knowledge of the kingdom, you must be born again. To enter the kingdom, you must be born again. So anything that the kingdom have, in order to benefit from it, to receive it, you have to be born again. So when we come to him and we ask him, one condition is being what? Born again. And then the Lord began to show me this. Even though that I am born again, even though that I said I confessed with my mouth what I believed in my heart, I'm supposed to have confessed what? The Lord Jesus. But the Lord stopped me on that too, even dealing with confession. When we confess something, we're declaring a thing. Is that not right? The only way we can declare something that we believe is to hear. Faith come by hearing, and hearing come by the word of God. So when we begin to hear the word of God, our heart is open to what we heard, and the confession, check this out. Some people say, you know, how we open up and say, you know, whoever want to be born again, and then we say, if you confess with your mouth. But God has shown me a difference here. Some people that confess Christ don't really know Christ. Some people can stand up here and they can confess with their mouth, but their heart and their mouth is not lining up with their actions. So when you begin to confess Christ, this is what happened in the Bible. When you see seeing Peter do that sermon and he was changed and he began to speak with boldness, we know that Peter was born again. We know that he had the power of God from on high to speak the way that Peter spoke. But he said, repent, have a change of mind, turn away from your sins and turn to God and be baptized. Now, in the word of God, you really don't see no open confessions, do you? Saying that Jesus is Lord. They were had a change of mind, dealing from what they had heard from Peter. So their heart had changed. When your heart changed, your lifestyle will change. That means that you're going to stand up boldly for Christ. That's when the confession comes. When trouble come your way, you're going to speak those things that be not as though they were. You're going to speak concerning Jesus Christ. That's confessing Christ. Some of us that have said we confess Christ, our lifestyles don't line up to what we confess. Anything that you confess from your heart, that's what you're going to stand for. That's what you believe in. Y'all remember Peter and them, when Peter and them was going through, when they were beating on Peter and them? Peter and them did not change their confession concerning Jesus Christ. That's openly declaring that Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. He is my master. He is my savior. He is the one that I depend on. He is the one that I go to in my time of need. No matter what happens in my life, I'm not going to change my confession, because my confession is going to always be about him, because in him I move. In him I live. In him I have my being. So my friends are not going to change what I confess. My job ain't going to change what I confess. Nobody or nothing is going to change what I confess, because I know who I am now that I'm in Christ Jesus. No lie is going to change who I am and what I believe. See, that's what that meant when Paul said that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, because we believe in our heart that what? We're saved, we're born again. So anytime you're going through something in your life and you deny him, your heart wasn't right. We got a lot of Christians denying Christ. We got a lot of Christians saying, I love him and I'm saved, but you don't speak up for him. That's your confession. You speak truth. That's why he says, sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. So anytime somebody come with you with false confessions, you begin to confess what you believe and who you believe. That's confession. The Bible says everybody that say, Lord, Lord, don't know him. Even the devils said, Lord, Lord, but yet they were still devils. You got to know who you laboring amongst. Everybody that say, Lord, Lord, really don't know him. And you got a lot of people saying, Lord, Lord, and still doing everything except what the actions supposed to line up with what your heart is saying. Amen? So here when he said ask, and it shall be given unto you, another condition is we have to ask in his name, in Jesus' name. In John 14, he said, whatsoever you ask in my name, it shall be given unto you that the Father may be glorified. So when we begin to ask, this is talking about prayer. And I'm telling you something. Prayer is an important thing dealing with the kingdom. This is how we communicate with God. This is how we talk with God and communicate. So if you don't have a prayer life and you say that you save and you say that you know God, see, this is why when you come communicate with God, people are going to know who you've been with. People are going to know who you've been talking to. Because your confession is going to line up with him. Whatever you decreeing and declaring is going to line up with him. So when we ask him something, it has to be in Jesus' name. Why? Because it's in him we move. In him we live. In him we have our being. It's nothing that we can do to get anything from God, because God ain't looking at what we do. He's looking at what Jesus have already done. That's why his blood is on the mercy seat. And it is saying, mercy, have mercy, have mercy. And that's why he give us new mercy every morning. Not because of us, but because of Jesus. Because God know that we mess up. This is why he forgave us for past, present, and future sins. Because God said, I know you're going to mess up. But that's why I give you a helper, which is the Holy Spirit. So when we come to God, the first thing you got to understand is I'm not coming in my name. I'm coming in Jesus' name. And if you're coming in Jesus' name, you know that God is looking at his son. And you know that everything that the Father has, it belongs to the Son. And now that we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are joint heir to what he has. So you don't have to feel guilty. You don't have to feel wrong when you come to the Father. Why? Because I know what belonged to me. Our problem in prayer is we're trying to get something, or we're trying to prove ourselves, and we feel like if I don't do something, God ain't going to do something. If I don't act this way or act that way, if I don't act holy than thou and do this or that, then ain't no point of me asking God for anything. I'm here to tell you, you better quit looking at you with your self-righteous self. Because if you continue to look at you, you'll never get anything that God has already provided, because you always trying to work it out. Yes, you messed up last night. Thank God that the blood already covered you messing up. Just repent. Have a change of mind. Turn from that and turn to God. I'm telling you, y'all, we missing out on what God has have already done. We spend too much time beating ourselves up instead of knowing that God have already made a way of escape for us. See, our problem is we spend too much time beating people up for what they did. What if Jesus spent that time? All of us would be dead, because Jesus said, I ain't got time for that. Because you know if I cover that, they're going to go do something else. So I ain't got time for that. Just go ahead and kill them and let them die. But God said, I got a solution, son. He said, I'm going to go ahead and let the blood take care of everything they will ever do. He said, that's just how much I love them. My love ain't based on them. My love is unconditional. I know they're going to mess up. As a matter of fact, they're messing up right now while I'm talking to you, son. He said, that's why your blood had to be shed for the past, the present, and the future. And I believe what upset God so much with his children, with his sons and his daughters, we act like we better than anybody else. We act like we the pick of the litter. Oh, I don't do like you do, so I'm all right with God. No, you ain't. Who told you that? Because you got something in that closet that ain't yet been revealed, but I got news for you, baby. God sees you. And that's what David recognized. God see me. I ain't worrying about y'all. I'm worrying about what God sees. I have sinned against God, not you. See, our problem is we're worrying about peeping Tom. You don't have to worry about peeping Tom, because peeping Tom don't see everything you do. But God does. God saw it before you did it. Did y'all not know that God got your whole life written out? Do you not know that God know when you come in and when you go out? Man can't determine that. But the devil's trying to knock you out before your time. And we allow these things. Why? Because because we yet don't know who we are now that we're in Christ. See, I'm so much in Christ, I shouldn't even be seen. And if I'm being seen, I'm coming out of Christ. It's too many people showing too much self. It's too many people showing too much flesh. It's too many people that's talking the talk but not walking it, not living it. Come on, if you're going to be about his business, be about his business. Don't talk about him if you ain't going to be about it. And then the thing of it is, we get so guilty when we fall short. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I can't hang with the goody-goodies. I fell short last night. Guess what? Goody-goodies did too. But you don't know about it because they ain't going to tell you about it. And they don't have to tell you where they fell short because God already knows. God already took care of that. But the problem is God said, my sons, my daughters cannot come to me and ask me for anything because they feel like they don't deserve it. That's why Jesus was telling his disciples, ask and it shall be given unto you. But there's conditions behind you asking. You have to ask in my name. And then I like this one. In John 15, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you can ask what you will and it shall be done, right? But God stopped me at this abide. If you abide, abide means remain. Now, if we're born again, he said, I want you to remain in me. And the reason why he described in 15 the vine and the branch, because he was giving you an illustration. As long as that branch stay connected to that vine, everything that that vine have, that branch have. And the thing is, we have to understand to remain in him, to abide in him, is to stay connected to him through trials, through tribulations, through sickness, through pain, through death, whatever it may be. We don't want to let go of that vine because we know that we're going to be disconnected and not benefit from what the vine has. See, the enemy don't want us to stay connected to the vine because the vine has everything that we need. And that's why he said, when you stay connected to me, first of all, you got to know I made a connection. And I made the right connection. And with this connection that I made, everything that he has belonged to me. I don't have to try to work it out. I don't have to try to figure it out. I don't have to try to do anything on my own. Everything I need is in that vine. My healing is in the vine. My deliverance is in the vine. My prosperity, my joy, my peace, my steadfastness, everything I need is in that vine. And as long as I connect to the vine, I know my branch is going to get everything it needs. But then there's another thing. I can stay connected. But if the word ain't abiding, he said, if you abide in me and my word, it has to be his word, not man's word. See, the problem is you're trying to connect to him and you're abiding by man. You ain't getting nothing from him. You can't serve two masters. You cannot serve two masters. Some of us are trying to say, I'm saved, but I'm trusting man. You can't serve Jesus and serve man at the same time. You can't serve him and serve money at the same time. You got to loose one and let the other go. Light and darkness don't mix. So I'm going to ask you today, who or what have you been connecting to? Who or what have you been believing in? We got so many people that says, I love him, but you're not connected to him because you're still struggling between what the world says and what the word of God says. You got to loose that thing. You got to let it go and say, God, I'm going to stay connected. And the way I stay connected is through your word. It's through what your word has to say to me on any given situation. See, the problem is we say we connected, but we don't go into the word to see what the word has to say about the situation. Oh, y'all, I'm so tore up on this pulpit. I'm so grieved because every time I talk about the word, I am so grieved because there's so many people that's saying, Lord, Lord, that's confessing. nobody change your mind. Nobody change your mind. We got too many people that save changing your mind because they don't know what this word says. We got too many people giving you a verse of scripture that they ain't even gotten enlightened on, and you taking that scripture for what they said, and they ain't even really been in it. They got it from somebody else. God said, are you really connected to me? Have you really truly made that confession? For him I live, for him I die. And see, that's where those apostles was. They knew. Paul said that he's torn betwixt the two. Paul said, if I'm torn between staying, I'm torn between going. But Paul chose to stay because Paul wasn't through with what God had ordained him to do. Paul knew he still had work. And one thing Paul knew, as long as I stay connected to the vine, as long as I stay in the word, whatever I asked of him, he's going to do because I'm connected to the Son. See, when you're connected to Jesus, I'm telling you, you really don't understand what you have. We shouldn't be around here so worried how this is going to get done, how that is going to get done. When you start worrying about these little tedious things, you disconnected. When you start worrying about if I do this, how am I going to do that, you disconnected. Girl, you better go connect and say, God, this is what your word says. This is why another point is we asking in Jesus' name. We have to stay connected to him, and then we have to ask according to his will. We cannot ask anything opposite to his will and expect to get something from him. Now, how can we ask according to his will if we're not abiding in his word? You don't know what the word is saying. We got so many people that's gimme, gimme, Jimmy, and I'm going to get there. When you connected to him, you ain't no gimme, gimme, Jimmy no more. Because you already know you got everything. That's why Paul said he know how to be content. He know how to be content when he have and when he don't have. Why? Because he was connected. Some of us, when we don't have, we get sick. We toe up. We get really sick, and we're still trying to figure out, now, if I can just make me $100, that'll take care of this. Well, if I can do this, if I can do that, it ain't about you. Because if you connected to that vine, you should know that everything you need, you already have. So the thing is, we have to know what his will is. Remember, we're kingdom people, right? So if we're part of the kingdom, we got to know what the kingdom has in order to live like the kingdom. So that's why he said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you. Y'all, this is a promise. And it's so simple, but yet we make it so hard because we say, God, I really don't have time for your word today. I'm just so busy. I work all day long. When I get off work, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do that. And I'm going to get to the next part on seek. But I'm still on the ask part. See, but you don't have a problem. You got time to ask him for something. When you're in trouble, you got time to say, God, now you see what's going on. You got time to stop and ask him. You got time to stop and ask him all about your problems and all about your troubles. But he said, you ask me. You ask in Jesus' name. Then you come to him and you ask according to his will. But this is the thing that I was talking about in Clem school. And this is the confidence that I have in him. Is your assurance, is your confidence in him, your boldness in him enough to know that Father already got it even before I asked? Why? Because you should have had that confidence and that boldness the day that you had said, I accept Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Why am I accepting him? Because I can't do it myself. I realize that he has everything that I need. In order to get to the kingdom, I have to accept what he's done. And when I accept what he's done, everything that the kingdom has is already mine. So if I'm having confidence in him, that means I'm not having that assurance and boldness in what I do or what I don't do because I'm in him. So I'm leaning and I'm depending so much on him that I'm not worried about no need. I'm not worrying about lack. I'm not worrying about my finances. I'm not worrying about sickness. I'm not worrying about dread. I'm not worrying about being anxious. Why? Because I got so much confidence him. That's why that verse says that this is the confidence that I have in him, that whatsoever I ask according to his will, he what? But you got to have that confidence first. How many go to God but don't have that assurance that he's going to do it? Why are you going? See, the first thing you got to know is he's God. He owns everything. Everything that I need is in him. And now that I'm in him, it ain't about me no more. He's my father. He's my Abba, daddy, Abba, father. And every time I go to my daddy in confidence and in assurance, I go to him because I know he ain't looking at me. I know that he sees his son. So when I go to him, I know I have what I have already asked for before I ask. Why? Because it ain't about what I did last night. It ain't about what I did yesterday. It's all about what Jesus done on my behalf. So I don't have to feel guilty. I don't have to feel condemned. Why? Because I'm in him. If you get that concept, that you're in him and it's not about you, you wouldn't sit there and try to pick or choose what you're going to say to God. Because when you asked him according to his word, you should know that God hear you, because God don't hear nothing but his word. And God's word ain't coming back to him void, but it's going out to accomplish that which he pleased and prosper in the thing that he has sent it to do. So when we're trusting in him and trusting in his word, we should know that we already have it and we should just go on about our business. The problem is we can't ask because we're afraid he's not going to give it, because we're afraid that we left something out. That we didn't pray long enough, that we didn't speak in tongues long enough, that we ain't been coming to church, that we ain't been paying our tithes. It is not based on you. It's based on Jesus Christ. So God said, when you come to me, quit looking at you, because I'm not seeing you. But you can stop you from getting what he has provided, because you're allowing guilt. You're allowing condemnation to come in between what God has already done. Quit looking at you. He said, if you ask, it shall be given unto you. Why? Because you're asking in my name. You're asking in boldness. You're asking in assurance. You're asking in confidence. You're asking according to my word. And you're not asking amiss to consume it upon your own lust. Some of us ask for things because, guess what? It's all about us. It's all about what we want. But then the Lord began to show me this, and I had to get the asking out the way first to let you know the conditions. And then you can't have stuff in your heart, y'all. Some of you right now still got unforgiveness in your heart. You're still holding grudges. You're still thinking about what this person done to you last week instead of doing what the word says. God said, how can you come to me and ask me anything when you got ought against your brother and sister? When you're supposed to go to your brother and sister, how can you come to me when you got stuff floating around and things going on around you? You can't even come to me because guilt is there, because you're feeling guilty. You're feeling convicted. This is why the Bible says if you got ought against your brother, you don't come to the altar. You get it right with your brother. Why? Because that's coming between you and God. Why is it coming between you and God? He said, okay, you accepted me as your Lord. You accepted me as your master. You accepted me as your Savior. At least that's what you said you done. And then after you accepted me, you should have known that I forgave you for your past, present, and future sins. Okay, you know me. You're becoming acquainted with me. And you said I'm your Lord, but yet you can't forgive your brother.
Thank you for tuning in to our broadcast on today. If you have a testimony on how this broadcast has truly blessed your life, please call us at 866-907-6836. If you would like a copy of the teaching in its entirety, you may contact us at 866-907-6836. You may write us at Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, Post Office Box 1042, Bergall, North Carolina, 28425. Visit us on the internet at www.mtdm.org.
nobody ain't lying.